Good evening and welcome to this meeting of the Canterbury Bankstown Local Planning Panel on the 1st of June 2026. I declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. My name is Julie Walsh and I'm the chair of this evening's panel. I'll start with the acknowledgement of country. The Canterbury Bankstown Local Planning Panel acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land, water and skies of Canterbury Bankstown, the Darug people. The panel recognises and respects Darug cultural heritage beliefs and relationship with the land, and the panel acknowledges the First Peoples' continuing importance to the Canterbury Bankstown City community. Also sitting with me tonight are expert members to my right, Kate Bartlett and Elizabeth Peat, and to my left are Linda Eisler, the Canterbury Bankstown community member for Canterbury Ward, Peter Minton, the community member for the Bankstown Ward, and Stephen Tontevsky, the community member for the Revesby Ward. I should advise that site inspections were carried out prior to the meeting this evening, and we've received and read the business papers and received a briefing from the council officers, and in respect of the Panania item, the independent consultant. Declarations of interest. Written declarations have been received from all of the members of the panel confirming no conflicts of interest in any of the items in which they're dealing. And I'll just ask if any of the members wishes to declare any interest on any agenda item. No. And I have no declaration of interest either. I'd like to confirm the minutes of the previous meeting of the Canterbury Bankstown Local Planning Panel, being the meeting of the 6th of May 2026, they've been confirmed as correct by the chair of that meeting. A note regarding speakers, there are a number of registered speakers in relation to the four items this evening. This is not a question and answer session, but an opportunity for members of the public to express their views directly to the panel. The time limit for speakers is 5 minutes, and there will be a bell which is sounded after 3 minutes and at 5 minutes. After this public meeting, when we've heard from all speakers, we'll have a closed session to determine the four matters on the agenda, and we aim to have the minutes on the council website by Friday. So the first item which is listed before us is the planning, the Belfield Master Plan planning proposal. There were three late written submissions from Belfield residents, one against the application and the other two in support, and I have four registered speakers. So I'm going to start with Louisa Ferranato. Thank you. Please proceed.
Good evening, panel, and thank you for the opportunity for me to have me speak this evening. I support the vision of improving Belfield. I support the proposed traffic calming measures, the reduction of the speed limits to 30 kilometres per hour, improvements to bus services like the 942 bus route, and investment in footpaths and beautification and public spaces. However, I'm concerned that parts of the master plan risk changing Belfield from a small village into something it was never intended to be. The first issue is its small village character. Belfield's identity comes from its scale, its local businesses, its heritage buildings, and its village atmosphere. Increasing building heights and expanding commercial zoning along Burwood Road will fundamentally change that character. We already have significant high density development occurring on the Stratfield side of Punchbowl Road. Replicating that outcome in Belfield is unnecessary and risks creating a continuous corridor of overdevelopment rather than a distinctive village centre. My second concern is infrastructure. The plan assumes additional density can be accommodated, but residents already experience traffic congestion, significant parking shortages and safety issues. The intersection of Burwood Road and Punchbowl Road remains problematic. and surrounding streets continue to operate as rat runs. Traffic is already terrible and public transport is subpar. We are in between rail lines and still have a poor bus service. The 4:15 only runs until 7 p.m. on weekdays and once an hour on Sundays. Belfield's infrastructure needs fixing now before adding more problems. The proposed changes are not sufficient and will exacerbate them. They need to be addressed and resolved now before more development is introduced. And my final point is about sensible growth. I'm not opposed to growth. Belfield should contribute to housing supply. But growth must be evidence-based and proportionate. There is little evidence that expanding commercial zoning and increasing density will revitalise local businesses when there are already vacant commercial properties in Belfield and nearby Belmore. If additional housing is delivered, it should include more family-friendly three-bedroom apartments, not simply smaller units that fail to meet the needs of the community. Multiple generational families live in the area and contribute to its character that we love. My request to the panel is simple. Belfield's village character ensures retain Belfield's village character, ensure infrastructure keeps pace with growth, and pursue development that's balanced, evidence-based, and respectful of existing residents. Thank you very much. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. I'll just check, are there any questions? The community member has some questions, I think.
When the time for discussion comes, you pursue that and ask other people too. I do think there needs to be more three-bedroom apartments. I understand your fear for a small village and its character. I come from one. There is a demand by the government, you realise that, to increase it, and if we don't do it, they impose it. I've seen a number of the master plans, and they've all coped much better when the Canterbury Bankstown Council does the design than when the government does. Also, do you realise that a lot of these changes are going to be over a long period of time? Okay.
Yes.
And you realise that they're pushing, one of the strong areas of the master plan is the public transport increases. Okay.
Yep, which is fantastic.
And the shortcuts so people can, so it will be a 15-minute accessibility by foot, by bike, so that it means that locals won't, hopefully won't need cars as much. Okay. And that there has, that they, the council is pushing for an increase in R2. And so doing that, lowering, because the last council did a lot of Canterbury as R3. They made a lot of changes like that. So that is, I think, a positive. In light of all that, you still feel they aren't doing enough. And then I'd ask you, what's your suggestion to meet the government requirements to create this livable city that they're trying, oh, village, because they do call it a village. Mm. What else can they do?
Well, I think there's probably an opportunity to work with Strathfield Council and determine along that stretch of road, Punchbowl Road, rather than encroaching more on the suburban side of Belfield, to see if there's opportunities there. And I do see in the revised master plan there was increased height along Punchbowl Road that's still being retained. So I kind of feel that is worthy of pursuing.
Okay, well, this is only the very beginning, and the community does have other chances to contribute. This is just looking at getting the state government to look at it and to refine it before it goes anywhere else anyway. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming along and speaking to us tonight. The next speaker is Geeta Gopalan. Have I pronounced that right?
Gopalan.
Sorry, Gopalan. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity to present here today. I've lived in Belfield for about 34 years, and the landscape has changed, though some would argue not for the better. I'm here speaking on behalf of some of the residents who have lived here for 70, 50, 60, 3 years, 2 years, etc. And some of the issues that I'm going to talk about are some of the issues that we are subject to daily. I will say that I am supportive of the Belfield Village upgrade, as development, when done correctly, enhances suburbs. But I do have reservations on some of the current matters that would need to be looked at seriously. And I think Louisa went through them, so I won't go into them. As it would be a shame if the approved changes leads to more uncontrolled density issues, changes in the streetscape, cleanliness, etc. I will now highlight some of the concerns that current owners are grappling with. The state of the streets, the dirt, the accumulated leaves, the rubbish, and also the drains at the very end of Burwood Road and Central Street that are constantly blocked from leaves from the trees and backflow of rainwater that flows up the street past my house and the others, and that's a stench. I and some of the others have had to call the council several times to get those drains cleared, to have the leaves removed. And, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we had weekly street cleaners after bin days, but really with the parking of resident and non-resident cars, this does not happen anymore. Another angst amongst residents, there is no available street parking as new residence owners have 5-6 cars but fail to use their garages or driveways as it's more convenient to park on the street. Now, this makes it difficult for tradespeople who are coming to do work in our houses to park close by and often have to lug stuff to our residences, and that's a bit of an angst for both parties. On top of that, we have cars who block our driveways or park in an inconsiderate fashion, and we're constantly ringing the rangers who never get there on time, and on the weekend we call the police to ring residents to move their cars. Now, I think in some ways Strathfield Council saw the benefits of revenue raising around their township with metered parking and timed parking, and perhaps, you know, we could go that way. Now, so we need a ranger who's consistently there to take a note of these issues. Now, in the last 4 weeks, we have seen more Lime e-bikes strewn all over the streets. I know we've had a huge influx of bin chickens, especially early mornings, scrummaging the bins for food and food scraps. So how do we deal with that? Shopping trolleys, how do we handle those issues? Because when a customer takes a shopping trolley outside a supermarket boundary, that is deemed stealing. And the inconsiderate behaviour, leaving it outside our houses, does not sit well. So how do we work with the supermarket council and owners taking it off premises? Do we go for coined trolleys? These are some things that I think council has to think about, though they say it's not their issue. The final point, and I've got my little timer here, The medium to high density residences are basically owners corporations. They're a legal entity subject to the New South Wales Strata Management Schemes Act. Most owners and renters in an OC have no idea about this. How will these matters be addressed down the track, as across the road from where we live, the low density blocks often have rubbish strewn outside their building? And I think it's very important, while we support development, the development has to ensure that we do not become, and I hate to use this word because it's so discriminatory, but ghetto-like environments, yeah? And that's basically my point. Thank you once again for the opportunity to highlight some of our concerns. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Just wait there and I'll see if there are any questions. Did you have any questions? I think the community might have.
I think you need to talk to your local councillors on some of these issues.
We have, but I think also we've got you. Look, I think there are not just Bellevue community issues, there are a whole lot of issues, and I think there has to be a way around ensuring that before we go ahead with this massive project, which is over a 20-year period, or however long it takes, that we've got to look at the crux of issues currently that sit within our small community. I've been here for 34 years. I know people who were born in the neighbourhood who've showed me pictures of, you know, whether it was a pear farm or a sheep farm or whatever it may have been. It's come a long way. But I think we need to take into account and consideration the issues now. And yes, you know, we all look at profit as a motivator, but how do we resolve now to move forward?
You know, I think that most suburbs have problems like these.
Yes.
I mean, I've been on the Southern Sydney Region of Councils that goes from Sutherland to Waverley. Mm-hmm. It was a number of years ago now, but rubbish dumping and careless behaviour is just a thing of today. And it maybe you get people in that have got more of a social conscience, but I think it's neighbourhoods that also have to start getting together and working together and finding the solutions.
And you're very true there, because I'm originally from Melbourne, and you know there are a lot of owners corporations sort of in the inner city like Parkville, Merribeck, etc. And they form what they call neighbourhood teams, whereby you work as a community, and yes, you still do get the issues that arise, and that will never stop. But being part of a community is actually very important.
And then perhaps you can get the help of council and hopefully councillors to support it with publicity,
yeah,
for what you're doing and what you're trying to create.
I agree. But look, thank you once again. Much appreciated.
Thank you for coming along and speaking this evening. The next speaker is Joseph Rinaldi. Oh, not here? Okay. Stephen Denali. Thank you. Please proceed.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk tonight. Good evening, members of the local planning panel. I am a resident of Clarence Street, Bellfield, located directly across Rudd Park. Because I was overseas during the original community consultation period for the Bellfield Master Plan, tonight is my first real opportunity to formally address the panel regarding the sweeping changes proposed for our community. I'm here to express my strong opposition to the proposed desensitisation of our suburb, specifically the introduction of three-storey developments on our local streets. We are deeply concerned that these changes will irreversibly alter the character of our area, stripping away the unique identity defined by established residential styles, including the classic 1920s and 1940s homes that give our neighbourhood its historical charm. I would like to draw to the panel's attention to several critical issues that must be addressed. It's appropriate three-storey desentification and that overshadowing. We strongly oppose the push for three-storey developments on residential streets like Clarence Street. Specifically, I am seeking urgent clarification on the following. Number one, the Greenway corridor, which is their proposed three-storey, 11-metre height limit, establishing a corridor along the Belfield Canal Greenway between Rudd Park and Eccles Reserve. Two, inconsistent zoning. Why is a high density three-storey corridor interspersed haphazardly with R2 low density residential zones? And three, overshadowing, permitting three-storey buildings will cause severe overshadowing issues on the northern aspect of our street. It will directly compromise the privacy, sunlight and amenity of the remaining two-storey R3 properties, completely altering the quiet suburban character of the area. Number two, existing parking issues and duplex restrictions. We are already facing major daily parking congestion on Clarence Street. Adding three-storey multi-dwelling developments will only exacerbate this existing infrastructure failure. Furthermore, it is incredibly frustrating that while the council pushes for three-storey desentification, new zoning restrictions will simultaneously prevent gentle infill options like duplex developments. This removes sensible housing diversity in favour of overdevelopment. Number two, the impact of three-storey towers on Punchbowl Road. The proposed intensification along Punchbowl Road is entirely out of scale with the surrounding neighbourhood. Point one, high-rise introduction. The draft master plan proposes an R4 high-density residential zoning that permits residential flat buildings to up to six-storey or 23 metres along Punchbowl Road. This creates an imposing visual wall that is out of step with a local character. Point two, splitting of Linda Street under section 4.3, the plan investigates intersection enhancement measures such as medians or partial closes along Punchbowl Road at residential streets, including Linda Street. Splitting Linda Street to stop rat running with funnel immense traffic pressure into surrounding local streets, creating gridlock for residents trying to navigate their own neighbourhood. Number four is down street closure and local business impact. Partially closing down street at Burwood Road for Pacific Plaza threatens the viability of our village centre and risks severe residential gridlock. Point one, business consultation. Have the businesses directly on this corner, specifically Nature's Best, been formally notified of the proposed closure? Point two, customer access. What happens to the Burwood Road businesses that rely on shoppers easily parking in the council car park and walking to their premises? Point three, traffic rerouting. Without access from Burwood Road, how will vehicles enter public car park? Has the council assessed the traffic impact of forcing all these patron vehicles to detour through our quiet residential side streets? Point four, trial risk. We fear even temporary trial closures will suffocate local trade before the permanent detrimental impacts are fully understood. Point five, demand for clarity on population and density. Finally, the community is being asked to accept these massive zoning changes without a clear, transparent understanding of the end game. I'm formally requesting that panel clarify exactly how these proposed planning changes will impact the total population size and demographic density of Belfield. How many residents are expected to be funneled into the village hall in our local street? And how does the council genuinely plan to support the influx when our current parking and traffic infrastructure is already failing? Our community deserves a master plan that respects its heritage and current residents rather than one that forces inappropriate high-rise and three storeys desertification into a quiet suburban street. I urge the panel to reconsider these zoning changes. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just check if there are any questions. Did you have any questions?
I'd just like to say thank you very much for your feedback. I will ask the planning staff to hear. I think it's too much to try and do the whole lot tonight, but as I've said, this isn't the end product. There has been consultation and there will be more consultation. And the one thing I know, I was on Canterbury Council, and the difference between Canterbury and Canterbury Bankstown is their communication with the community. It is considerably more. I had to push for consultation. So I do assure you that it is very good. I mean, I know it's sometimes difficult to get into it because you're away or whatever, but keep an eye out on the website. It's all up there so you can continue to have a say. But for tonight, I think I'd like the discussion possibly about overshadowing, the reasoning behind the increase in height, and maybe something about why, what you're trying to achieve in terms of livability. But look, as I said, this is, we've just done a few hours on it. I don't know that we can go into the depths, the same depth. So I'd ask the staff to do the best they can with the little time we've got.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So that concludes that. Sorry. Oh, would the staff like to respond to that? Is that?
Yeah, that's fine. I think one of the main concerns was the R3 and lifting that to three storeys. Where we've done that, that's been limited to the area around Rudd Park and, correctly, as the gentleman pointed out, around the Greenway. The reason why we have uplifted along there is to provide opportunities to go a little bit taller but then dedicate part of the land adjacent to improve cycling and walking connectivity and also to take advantage of the amenity provided by Rudd Park as well. So they're the areas where we've uplifted the height in the R3. Much of Belfield is already R3, so to kind of counter that, what we've done is there's areas that we're proposing to downzone to R2, but we're not turning off things like dual locks, so they are still permissible in the R3 zone despite the change in height and floor space. The rest of the density is mostly focused around the centre in two or three blocks. There's no change to density kind of in around the rest of Belfield.
I'd like to agree with you about that. When I was on Canterbury before, and it happened before me, I believe, that a lot of Canterbury was changed from R2 to R3. And the idea was to introduce greater density through dual locks. But I think it was a stupid idea, personally, because it actually allowed you to do more than that. And unfortunately, it happened. And unfortunately, the state government at this time make it very difficult for changing back from R3 back to R2. If we are to get more R2, you have to give them something. And I think from the plans that Canterbury Bankstown have made, like in Canterbury, in Campsie, Bankstown, they have worked to do that greater density, but with a livable, but by producing a livable city. Now, you, as I said, you have your chance to have a say, but as I said, we don't want the state government imposing their demand for increased density because they don't do it as well as this council. But there's still room for change, I believe. I've made a few comments myself about the changes I'd like to see. But anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. And yes, just to confirm, our role here is to provide advice to the council in relation to the draft planning proposal and the master plan and the planning proposal and master plan and the DCP will then be submitted having regard to that advice to the Department of Planning for a gateway determination, and that will be then placed on exhibition for the community to make comment on, and then it will go back to the council to make a final decision. Thank you, everybody. So the next item on the agenda is item 2, 15 and 25 Greenfield Parade, Bankstown. There are no registered speakers in relation to this item. I'd like to acknowledge that there was one late written submission against the application, and we'll consider the matter in the closed session at the end of this public meeting. The third item, Mr. Peterminton is the community member for that item. Yes.
I have no questions. Okay. Thank you.
You didn't have any other comments or anything? That. Okay, so in relation to the third item, DA 1417 2025 for 472 and 490 Chapel Road, Bankstown, category 1 remediation works. This is a matter that would have been formally dealt with by the district planning panel, but has now come to the local planning panel having regard to recent changes. There are no registered speakers. There are two people from the applicants team available to answer any panel questions: Matthew von Bertucci, the senior project director from Health Infrastructure, and Stephen Bottrell, the project manager from Health Infrastructure. I note that there is a set of agreed conditions, I'm informed, at being a Crown GA, and I'll just check whether any of the panel members have any questions in relation to those people available to speak. Mr. Menton, did you have any questions?
Yes, these are more of a general nature.
The two representatives could come down and be available to answer, or whoever is the most relevant one to answer the question at the microphone. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, gentlemen. First of all, you are in charge of a very important addition to Bankstown, and we're looking forward to seeing it arise. So if I just make a general comment. Now, these are just two points you may take into account or indoors, totally up to you. The one question I had, which only got glossed over in the information we were given, is the access to the playing fields by the school when the construction is completed. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I can take that question. I'm Matt von Berto, project director for the new hospital. So I believe the council DCP sort of indicates that there's, you know, an intent for the long-term vision of Bankstown to return those playing fields to public open space. We've considered that and the government architect's comments in developing our master plan for the site, and we're proposing under our SSDA quite a large public plaza at the front of the hospital, and we've located that and designed that so it could facilitate future public and pedestrian access through to those playing fields if they were ever opened up from the school and became a public asset. So we've considered that in the new hospital designs.
Thank you very much. Good. Now, the other one is just a bit of local knowledge for you. That Chapel Road is something of a heavy traffic thoroughfare, particularly where it does get jammed up quite badly is pick-up time for schools. I'm just wondering if you take on board And what you can do about it, I don't know. But if we can avoid congestion on Chapel Road by the trucks at those particular two particular times, I think it'll be very much appreciated.
Yes, and we've modelled the roadway network extensively, and we've developed a construction management plan to consider the school zones, because, you know, being there myself, it's very busy for a very short period of time at the beginning and in the afternoon pickup, so we're very aware of that.
Okay, thank you, and we look forward to the finished building. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for coming along and being available to answer any questions. Thank you. So the final item on the agenda tonight is DA 1371 2025 77 Anderson Avenue, Panania. The community member for that item is Stephen Tonchevsky. I have three registered speakers on behalf of the applicant team: Hugo Cottier, John Wilson, and Helena Miller. So who would like to go first? Oh, you can all sit there. You can all come down together, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Actually, before you start, so we were provided with there was obviously a set of draft conditions in the independent planning consultant's report, and then we understood you had some issues with some of them, and then we received further advice from the independent planning consultant about those conditions and which ones could be modified, deleted, etc. So did you have any comments on that aspect?
No, my name's Helena Miller. I'm the planning consultant. Yes, so I prepared that submission just in respect of what our concerns relating to the conditions of consent. We were provided with a copy of the independent planning consultant's advice, and we're very happy with those changes. We didn't have anything else to add other than we really just wanted to be here to answer any questions if the panel has any questions. But otherwise, we support the report and thank the council for their cooperation in preparing it.
Okay, I'll just check if the experts have any questions. I know the community member, due to have some issues he wished to raise with you, Stephen Tontipsky. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming tonight. I just had a couple of questions. Being a Panania resident myself for a long period of time, I used to go to that library when I was a little kid. And so, you know, there's obviously it's in the town centre. There's a lot of people that hang around it, should I say. There's a lot of shopping, a lot of activities and so forth. I'd note that there's no plaques or anything. There's existing plaques at the building. Are you looking at retaining those plaques and putting it on the new building somewhere else?
The plaques to the actual building itself. We certainly are retaining the fountain.
Yeah, I understand that's on the corner.
Relocating that. In terms of the existing building plaques, I'm not sure.
There hasn't been any intention yet to retain any of those plaques.
Sorry, I didn't actually hear that answer. Was it? Are you?
Sorry. There hasn't been any intention to retain those plaques and put them on the new building. There's a number of new signage elements that are going on the building, along with the Nurse Schwarzel Fountain.
I don't think we considered that the building itself as it stands at the moment is a heritage item. It's really only the fountain that's a heritage item, so we weren't anticipating that. But certainly if you had any information, we could consider about this.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, look, another, I suppose, question, should I say, as well is the, I understand that the senior citizens centre's being demolished. That's the proposal, along with the baby healthcare centre as well. I also note that that the new facilities won't have any baby healthcare facilities incorporated in it, and that I understand that you've considered that element of it. and that it's now going to go or be shared along with other libraries as well, like for the baby healthcare.
The baby healthcare, which is a state-run service, that's going to be run out of Padstow, which is where they actually came from before they moved to Panania. So our customer service team has been in negotiation or discussion with them, and the baby health centre service provider is going to reset up in Padstow.
Okay. I have no further questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So that there were some other people available to answer any questions, but you didn't have any other questions, did you? So that completes our speakers. Sorry, thank you.
Thank you.
For the public meeting, as indicated before, we'll now go into closed session to make our decisions, which will be made available on the council website, hopefully by Friday. I'd like to thank my fellow panel members, expert members and the community members for their assistance this evening, and also the council staff and the independent consultant, Jeremy Swan, for their assistance. I declare the meeting closed at 6:40 p.m. Thank you.